Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Doing the turn behind the mic today after the Huskers completed, I believe this is practice number 10, so we are two-thirds of the way home before the end of spring football and the start of the real off season. And last Saturday, the Huskers had their first big scrimmage of the year, and he was asked, how did the quarterbacks handle the scrimmage?
I thought they were really good. You know, it's a really hard defense to go against, and I thought we protected the ball well, which was the first thing, right? Like, we're on a mission to be in the positive territory on turnover margin. So I think there was only one turnover on the day through a lot of reps. I thought they handled all the pressures. I thought they adjusted all the different things. But the biggest thing is, you know, get into the stadium for the first time and I put crowd noise on, so you can't have coaches out there like, no, cut your split. Coaches are the worst. So they want to tell guys what to do. So I put crowd noise on so you couldn't hear from the sideline. And, you know, just wanted to test the guys and see what they knew. And a lot of things to work on, you know, but a lot of positive things. So I think we've made a lot of strides in a short amount of time.
Don't you love how Matt Rhule still is, like, I don't want to say he's needling his other coaches, but there's always, you know, he was talking about Belichick last week or 2 weeks ago when Belichick was in for the coaches clinic, and he was talking about how some of the coaches were talking about what they want to do, and Rhule's like, guys, don't tell him about that. You know, he didn't care about what you want to do. You should be listening to him.
Yeah.
Kind of doing the same thing there, you know, by saying, I don't want the coaches in their ear all the time. I want them to treat this like it's a real game. So I'm going to pipe in the crowd noise so that the coaches aren't constantly in their ear. There's always a teaching that's going on.
It's always preparing you for the season.
Exactly. Even with the people who are supposedly the guys who know better and are the adults in the room.
Yeah, and I imagine you, someone who has spoken many a time about the idea of overcoaching, you have to love that, you know?
Love it.
Figure it out on your own. You are going to be in a moment where it's going to be loud and you're going to make a mistake. How do you overcome it in that exact moment?
Well, speaking of other things I love, Matt Rhule had an old man moment today. He was he's talking about the guys coming back from the scrimmage and being in good health. Unfortunately, there's been a bug that has gone through the team, which led to this quote. And that'll set up what we'll talk about in a minute.
The Tuesday after the first scrimmage, half the team has influenza. I mean, we were growing up, they called it the flu. Now it's influenza. It sounds way scarier.
Oh, my gosh. Good Lord.
It's just the legal.
Isn't it just the proper doctor term?
Well, yes.
You don't have to get all.
The flu is short for influenza.
Good Lord. God, you old people are so weird about just
crap. Whoa. Don't be lumping me.
You said
this.
I love this. He had an old man moment.
I loved it because it was.
This sounds like
was
something
funny.
You would say.
It was funny. No, it's not.
The libs are trying to scare us with their influenza.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't
the
be the first
influenza.
Time they tried to. It wouldn't be the first
woke.
Time they tried to scare us with their diseases.
Woke
anyway.
Virus.
Anyway,
participation virus.
Nice.
Here's the full answer, talking about how pleased he was, how the team has battled back from that scrimmage.
You don't see me happy very often after practice, right? It's not my job to be happy. But I was really happy today with, like, them bouncing back and seeing a lot of the guys, you know, you come out of that first scrimmage, you look at what you did. You know, young people have a tendency to be like, oh, I played good, I played bad. You played how you played. Some things were good, some things were bad. Just build off the good stuff, fix the bad stuff. And I saw a lot of growth today. So I'm pretty pleased right now, to be honest with you.
Yes, he is. And you know what? That's good to hear. I mean, when a coach is willing to admit, hey, I'm actually happy after this practice, that's a big admission for a guy like him.
Oh, 100%.
It's a big admission. I know it's early, blah, 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 it's spring football, but come on. That's a big admission to say, yeah, I'm usually grumpy. I'm usually trying to nitpick this, nitpick that, do this, do that. I'm pretty happy after these practices. So you can tell things have been going pretty well this week. On the wide receivers, Garrett McGuire also was at the podium today. We won't hear anything from the Huskers wide receivers coach, but on the subject of wide receivers, here was what Matt Rhule had to say about the things he wants to see from this group and what they've been working on.
But the great thing about Garrett is he's one of those coaches. For a young coach, he's not real defensive. He's like, okay, we need to improve this, 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 and this. But like our route running, our speed, our effort, our knowledge is like been really a great jump. There's just things to improve. Ball skills, catching the ball with pressure on, you know, hard catches. And the biggest thing for me is just still, you know, we're going to go face some teams this year, and they're going to line up, and they're going to grab you at the line of scrimmage. And you might get one call or two, but you're not going to get 50. So you better learn, you know, you better learn to fight for yourself. And so, you know, again, everyone sees the wow plays. You know, we put out the highlights every day. Everyone sees the catch over the top, the one-handed, the shoulder catch, you know, but there might be three other plays where we couldn't get off press. And so it's our job just to keep working on the things we're not great at.
No, he did not say the S.
Okay,
there.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy that you could tell my reaction. I was like, wait a second.
No.
Are you sure? Do you want to replay it?
He stopped short.
That was close.
I think he stopped short.
Okay.
You know, again, everyone sees the wow plays. You know, we put out the highlights every day. Everyone sees the catch over the top, the one-handed, the shoulder catch, you know.
He was stopping short because the next word was shoulder. The next word was shoulder.
I don't know. The one-handed, the shoulder catch.
Yeah, it was a – he was –
Hey,
he
don't
was,
get Matt in trouble.
Yeah, he was going to – he was trying to say shoulder, and it's one of those corrections like when – If you say country, but if you stop at a very specific spot in country, it can turn into a bad word.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's just a little stutter there. But
What do you think? What do you think Matt is? A foul-mouthed college hockey player who swears on ESPN?
Yeah,
Come on.
He would never
do that. That's not what he was doing.
He's a pastor's kid. Pastor's kids don't cuss.
Son of a preacher, man.
Yep.
Here is the quote of the day. The quote of the day from Matt Rhule. He was asked about physical practices and why he wants physical practices. Here is Matt Rhule. This is the quote of the day.
We're 5-7. We're 5-7 till we change that. And so we have an amazing fan base and a lot of positive stuff around us all the time that excited for the new year. We're 5-7 till we're not. And so, and if we were 11-1, I'd be like, hey, we lost the game. And if we were 12-0, I'd say, yeah, but that doesn't count. I mean, we are going to always practice physical. How do you master your craft in this game if you don't do it? And so, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people win a lot of different ways. I'm not in any way talking about anyone else. I'm just talking about for us. I want to take great young people. I want to watch them get a degree, maybe 2 degrees, have a great experience here, but I also want to develop pro players. And to me, lifting is great and running is great and teaching them the game is great. Yes. They've got to practice and play. So we are really physical. You know, we put the Guardian caps on this year, which I'm excited about, but we're going to get guys banged up. Guys are going to get hurt. What I do believe, and I believe this with all my heart, is if guys learn to play full speed, the injuries get reduced.
Thank you.
I believe.
I know he said something similar to this last year. I remember him saying something similar to this last year. But that part in the middle where he says, how can you master your craft if you don't practice it?
Bingo.
I'm going to use a racing analogy. Kyle Larson's getting ready to qualify for the Indy 500. He is not going to learn how to run 230 miles an hour around that racetrack if he goes out and turns laps at 175 or 150.
He has to be able to turn laps
at full speed to understand what he is up against, and that is why, yes, you can throw all the caution to the wind. You cannot master your craft if you don't practice it the way you play it. And you know, and then the part at the beginning about, hey, we're 5-7. You know, you're not going to break 5-7 by going half speed during a scrimmage.
Not going to get better. So, I believe, John, that it was your favorite coach, Jim Harbaugh, who described
that beady-eyed, four-eyed goober.
When he first got to Michigan, I'm pretty sure he described it as like calluses. Like, you have to callus the body. You have to get used to it. You have to know what it feels like to hit. And, like, I get it. There is a balance. And that's why I said it with Brunts last hour, like, you don't want to be stupid. Like, there is a line that if you took off the green jerseys of all the quarterbacks and said, we're running options today, that'd be stupid. But you do have to try. You do have to be physical. You have to prepare yourselves because when September arrives, the games will be physical as hell. When October arrives, the games will be physical as hell. Jeremy says you can run on the track as long as Tony Stewart isn't there, Nick.
Wow, too soon. Too soon. I want to get to the final thing here, and this is about the transfer portal. Of course, the transfer portal window is open. Nebraska's still got the better part of 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And so by the time they wrap up, the transfer portal window will be about to close.
It's closing on the 1st, right? It's closing on May 1st?
So it's only going to have a couple of days on the other side of Nebraska spring ball. But I thought this was very interesting, and it speaks to what is a big, big problem with the transfer portal era. Here was Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody on our team wants to go in the portal, it's open today. That's their right. You know, obviously no one has yet. I don't anticipate anybody going in. When we get done with spring, we'll have a couple guys will have a couple days to see if something's best for them. You know, our guys are really transparent. We've had players on our team already have people from other teams contact them, you know, come in, walk in, say, Coach, look at this, show us a text message, show us this. Just it's a sad state of college football, when, you know, but the problem's not the players. Let me start there. The problem's not the players.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, yeah, and it's, I guess it's not unbelievable. We know that people are reaching out, and I don't think he was necessarily implying that it was other coaches reaching out, which is a big no-no.
He's implying the system, right?
Well, I think what he is saying is there are other players on other teams who are reaching out, or they third-party people who can reach out on behalf. But the bottom line is this tampering stuff, whether it is direct or indirect, it's happening.
Sure.
It's happening, and it's unfortunate. That's one thing I would like to think, no matter what side you're on in terms of the NIL transfer portal debate, I would like to think the common ground we all have is that kind of behavior should not be happening. That, you know, if someone is, obviously there's no one under contract in college sports, but sure, if somebody's on a team and on a scholarship and there and in the middle of practice, that folks should not be reaching out saying, hey, you should come and play for us. I think that's a no-no. Yeah. It always has been, and it should continue to be such.
Yeah, and you know, one of the oddities, of course, of college football is just the calendar of everything, too, and that Nebraska is in the midst of spring ball. The portal is open. There are some schools who have been well done with spring ball. There are others who are just finished with spring ball. Who's playing this Saturday? Is it the Michigan game, the one this Saturday? Is it Ohio State that's this Saturday?
Wow, how soon we forget. It was Ohio State last week. Yeah, it's Michigan this week.
So, Michigan's playing, so they're still having time to go. Nebraska has a couple weeks until their spring game. It's just, it's wild how, you know, all over the place everything is.
One final thing from Matt Rhule, and this is about his philosophy on coaching during this period while the portal is open.
We're pretty transparent with our guys. Like, if they want to come talk to us, we're here to talk to them. I ask the coaches after scrimmages to meet with guys one-on-one. I'm always available. So, I just don't think it's really prudent, and maybe this is Pollyannish, but I don't think it's prudent for me to coach guys thinking about the portal, you know, because the worst thing you can ever do for a young person is not have high standards for them and not push them to greatness. So if you're afraid of pushing them because they might go to the portal, then probably don't have the right guy anyway. I'm sure things will happen, good, bad, but we're just going to coach the guys, try to get the team better, and pour everything we have into our players, both on the field, off the field, and personally. And, if something happens, it happens.
There's a lot of doom and gloom when it comes to talking about the portal, but that kind of an attitude is the healthiest attitude you can have. You've got to do you. You've got to coach your team and your players the best way you know how. And if those behaviors, those tactics lead some guys to the door, then those guys weren't meant to be in the first place. You know, if you're going to be a developmental program, which this program wants to aspire to be, if you're going to be a developmental program, as long as you're upfront and honest with folks and say, hey, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to expect of you, this is how we see you and your future, and you're upfront and honest with them in recruiting, most of them are going to stick it through, right? There's always going to be those that fall through the cracks, and it's always been that way, even before we had wide-open transfer. There's always been that. So no point in changing now, no matter if the rules have changed or not. I think it's the healthiest way to go about the whole job.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that it's always fun at Georgia or Alabama. You know, yeah, the winning is fun and the development is fun, but they coach you hard too. Like, that's got to be the expectation.
So there you go. There's a little Matt Rhule today. So we asked this question yesterday, and the final poll results came in. It was 55-45. We asked the fans back on Friday, if you got a 7-5 record, 7-5 regular season record, put it on a contract late in front of you. That's all it is. It's just you're guaranteed this team's going to win 7 games in the regular season. Would you sign that contract? 55% of our audience said no, they would not. They aspire to more. And so Amazing Daniel on, I'm assuming, the YouTube comments section.
Yes, this was on YouTube.
He asked yesterday, and it might be a good point to kind of jump off and continue this topic, but is 9 as fine as 5 is failure? In other words, is winning 9 wins, would that be as high on the good scale as another 5-win season would be bad on the failure scale?
Yeah, the way he asked it was, the hypothetical is basically weighing, is a 9-win season as big of a boost as a 5-win season is a drain?
I think it's a good question, and I think, honestly, the answer is probably yes. At this point, I believe that they can get to 9 this year. I believe that, you know, with everything that they've done, that there is a jump that is due, a jump that is coming. And at the same time, I can also look and say, man, another non-bowl season would be a massive, massive disappointment, especially given how close you were last year, given how everything is set up, the fact that this defense has now had a full year to acclimate to the 3-3-5 and how well they did it last year and how so many players are back. Your quarterback situation is better. The offensive line situation's as good as it's been in several years. Yeah, sure, there are concerns. Are they going to be able to win without, you know, heavy predominance of QB run game? Are the running backs going to be good enough to shoulder the load? Will they have a respectable enough run game? Will the freshman quarterbacks adapt well to this conference? And you know, the thing we never talk about every time we look at the schedule and we say, wow, that looks like a 7-win schedule, that looks like a 9-win schedule, that looks like a 4-win schedule, we always forget that there are 12 other factors out there. We always look at the schedule on the side of what we think Nebraska is going to look like, but we don't consider that Rutgers could have an up year or a down year, better than expected, worse than expected, that Iowa could be better than expected, worse than expected. There's all those different factors that are out there. But all of that said, I do think that, you know, 9 wins would be enormous. It would definitely qualify as a big jump, a lift for the program. As much as another 5-win season would be, oh, this again? Because how much more of this are we going to see? How much of the same old song and dance are we going to see?
Yeah, it's funny because I can tell you what happens if the second season is a bad year. Because I remember the 5-7 season that Scott Frost had in 2019, and just how big of a negative that seemed on the entire program. Hell, year two of Mike Riley, John, even though it started 7-0, they finished 2-4. And so, like, going into the offseason, the vibes weren't like super great on that one. I don't know what a 9-win season that feels, for lack of a better term, just like optimistic. Because I would say that 9-win season that Mike Riley had wasn't an optimistic one. There was still so much infighting with the fan base. How good is this? How good is this really? What does this even mean? Not to mention they got killed 62-3. They lost 40-10 to Iowa. So, like, I can tell you what the vibes would be like if they went 5-7 again. It's hard to figure out exactly how positive things would be. And that's not answering it from a negative perspective. I'm guessing it would be insanely positive. I'm wondering if I'm even underrating how positive people would be.
Oh, I think for absolutely certain it would be wildly positive. Because then even though the schedule beefs up in following years, you've got a base to build off of. Say, see, we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this. We've shown progress. We've gotten better. And, yeah, there's going to be changes next year as well. But, you know, as we've seen across college sports, you know, only a select few programs can almost virtually guarantee consistent success from one year to the next. You know, the Georgias out there, the Ohio States, the Michigans, those types of schools. because they've already established that foundation. Nebraska's still working on that. They're still working on getting back to a point where, hey, it doesn't matter that we graduated 20 guys and five more left in the transfer portal. We're going to get more. You know, that's what Creighton basketball's thinking like right now. Hey, it doesn't matter about what Trey's going to do, what Kalk's going to do. We've established a foundation. We know we've got a great plan. You know, we're going to be fine in the future. Nebraska's not there yet, but a season like a 9-win season this year, I think would help lay a really good foundation. And of course, it would reinforce what has been the MO of Matt Rhule over the course of his career. And that is, yeah, he takes jumps, you know, and I know I kind of dismissed that a little bit last week by saying, you know, just because you did this at one place doesn't mean you'll do this at another. But if it does start to trend, it's harder to deny that that's not going to be the pattern.
Not right? to mention because his year threes were his best years at the other two spots. And then you really do wonder, for a guy that's always been a, you know, build and then go to a better job, build and go to a better job. I mean, you would start getting really excited for, like, if he is true to his word and that this is not going to be another job that he leaves. What is the possibility of that for a coach, you know, when he's been able to proof a concept before and he'd be doing it with a program that, you know, has a lot of money and a lot of infrastructure. And look, I think that this place, like, we talk a lot about donor fatigue. If Nebraska gets good again, this place is like, they will throw so much money into the equation to try to help out. Everyone will do everything they can because they just haven't had it for so long and then they'd really enjoy it. They want to be a part of it.
Well, the closer you get to the top, the more excited people are going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you know, getting to, you know, 6 or 7 wins isn't necessarily going to excite a lot of folks, but 8, especially 9, that would start to excite a lot of folks because then all of a sudden you've climbed enough of the mountain that if you squint really hard, you can look through the clouds and you can see the top.
Well, again, I mean, especially in this era now with the playoff expanded, like, it's not even just like, oh, maybe we could make a New Year's Six Bowl. No, it suddenly fans are saying, oh my gosh, could we make a play? Could we make the college football playoff? Like, it just, that's the next rung, and it's not an insanely high rung if you can get to 9. You just got to get to 9.
The timing
yes.
of this year and making that jump would be huge because this will be the first year of the 12-team playoff, and so we'll get a chance to see what it looks like in actual operation. And absolutely, if Nebraska could time that first year of the playoff with a season where, yeah, they're not necessarily making it themselves, but they have the look of a team that, you know, hey, with another break here or there. Because right now, Nebraska's in a spot, oh, man, they'd have gotten another turnover against Maryland. They'd have been to a bowl game. You get to 9 wins, all of a sudden that becomes, oh, man, we're another turnover against Team X from being a playoff team.
Exactly.
And that's when the exponential growth can really kick in when you have the right kind of people in place. So, yeah, I agree. I think 9 would be very euphoric to the point where, yeah, it's something you can build off. Similarly, too, if, yeah, it's another 5-win bummer, there'll be a lot of doubt that creeps in.
Yeah, Chris
a
writes.
A lot of doubt that creeps in.
Chris writes, last time I felt great after a 9-win season was 2013. Just beat Georgia in the bowl game, but it was more about who was coming back and the experience coming back. Armstrong, Westerkamp, Bell, Abdullah, Gregory. 2014 should have been better than 9-4.
Right, but that also, you know, and not to relitigate that whole situation again, but that came during a very tumultuous time, right?
Yeah, that was the
how many wins they got, the head coach was on a hot seat of some kind.
Yeah, that was the season that included the audio tape. That was the season that included the hat swing. That was the season that included fire me. You know, like, and then, yeah, they did finish out the year with a bowl win, and that was back when bowl wins did still mean something, where they felt meaningful, even if it was not, you know, a New Year's Six game. And they entered the following year, and they started off, what were they, 8-1? You know, like, they did build off of that, but then, you know, they had the meltdown and Bo got fired.
All right. Well, happy times, right?
Happy times indeed.
They're still squeeging off the tarp, but the rain has stopped. It's still very cloudy here, but
you wouldn't know by John's face.
The Squeege boys.
Is it still bright?
You're bright as hell.
Well, you know, that's just the way this camera operates. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm not saying anything negative. I was just saying you wouldn't
that
know.
That tarp is very bright. It's just reflecting everything back on me.
Indeed.
Very, very bright.
John is either bright and white face, or he's in the dungeon at CHI, and it looks super dark.
Is that a video thing where you hold up a sheet of white paper to kind of recalibrate the contrast?
Oh, that's
white balance.
White balance.
Yeah.
I went to radio school, not video school.
Dave says that I just took over as hype monster of the day.
Oh.
You did?
Wow. Positive Josh.
Yeah.
Turning over a new leaf.
No. Vincent Shavers is the hype monster of the day. We cannot be, you know, stolen valor from the kids. It's unacceptable.
All right, fine.
It's messed
no
up.
No stolen valor from the kids. We do have a wooden bats and rubber hats.
Need those on a day like today when it might be lightninging.
Ah, baseball.
Baseball.
That.
Well, this
and,
is live baseball.
Yeah, I like how Gonzaga is just guns. It's ore and guns.
Don't be like John, Nick. Don't do this.
It's fun.
Oh, are you watching Pac-12 Network?
Yeah.
The soon-to-be-dead Pac-12 Network?
Champions League was done, and so I was looking around to watch something, and there was some baseball. I thought it was a game that was on yesterday, but no, it's a live baseball game.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bases loaded for Oregon. Or for Gonzaga?
Yeah, for Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. It's the top.
Yeah. I wonder, are they going to have like a fire sale of all the cool TV monitors and stuff that they have? I wonder if we could buy some of that stuff at a real big discount.
Excellent question.
You know, Nick's been complaining about needing some more video equipment to do his vlogs.
That's true. Yeah. He has
asked
for that.
You should call someone at Pac-12 Network and see if they're...
They got equipment to offload.
They're offloading some equipment for 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, not a bad idea, John.
1620 The Zone.